Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC FM and AM New York and WNYC.org. The Practitioners of Campaign 2.0. At the Personal Democracy Forum in June, I got to sit down with the online campaign coordinators for John Edwards, Ron Paul, and the Republican nominee, John McCain.
I'm Mark Suhu, Senior Vice President of Campaign Solutions, and we work with John McCain 2008.
Do you work for the McCain campaign directly or for a firm called Campaign Solutions?
Right. Our firm, Campaign Solutions, works for the McCain 2008 campaign, although I'm spending a lot of my time working on the McCain campaign, obviously.
What do you see as the most important online tools that you're using this year?
You know, obviously, everybody tends to look at the website as the most important public-facing thing. But honestly, I think that, you know, there's not any one tool in particular that's going to be important. It's enabling all our supporters to use the range of tools. So giving people a lot of opportunities so that no matter how they come to us, whether they're able to make phone calls or walk the vote or send an email message to their friend or any number of ways that you can engage online, that we're offering people that kind of opportunity.
So do you have main goals that you're trying to accomplish, measurable goals, via the internet?
We just have one goal, and that's to win the election. So everything else that we do is, you know, we're laser focused on how do we win the election. And so anything else that we do is how is that helping John McCain win today?
So what about fundraising? There's been so much said about the Obama campaign revolutionizing fundraising this year because of the web. Are you trying to learn from that and do some of the same thing?
Well, actually, I mean, I think if you look back at John McCain 2000, that really was the first campaign where online fundraising really played a measurable difference in the campaign. And so certainly I think this time we've done very well on our own right in fundraising. Obviously, you know, all credit to the Obama campaign for what they've done online. But we're very proud of what we're accomplishing, and we're continuing to work hard at it every day.
And not everything is about the candidate's website, right? I suspect you have people making videos or whatever, placing them directly on YouTube, not necessarily on your site. So is it a multi-site strategy?
Right, exactly. I mean, only a piece of our strategy is johnmccain.com. And you know, in fact, only a piece of our time is spent on that. Obviously, it's the most public and one that we spend a lot of effort on. But certainly the range of things that we, you know, Facebook and MySpace and YouTube, we've had a lot of very interesting video produced for the campaign. And I think that's been a very strong part of our campaign is the videos that we've produced.
Who produces the videos?
We have a team of people, one of which is Justin Germany, who works for a group. Foxhole Media does all of the TV and web stuff. But Justin Germany is one of the people that we've worked very closely with over the years. He used to work for Campaign Solutions. And he's a very, very good online video person.
How about user-generated stuff? Are people doing things in support of McCain and then sending them to you or that you discover and say, hey, look at this. We can incorporate this or edit it or build on it?
Yeah, there has been some online stuff. Obviously, you know, nothing like the Obama girl. But certainly there's the new McCain girl that just came out. And there's been a couple of interesting things out there that have been done. Done user-generated.
When people submit comments, do you have comments on the McCain site?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the McCain blog.
How do you deal with the comments? Like, if stuff is really anti-McCain, if people are trolling on there to knock the candidate or whatever, how do you deal with, you know, when you leave stuff up, when you edit it out, and when you respond to people?
Sure. It's a very, you know, our blog is obviously very open, and, you know, we try our best to take out anything that's actually that's very offensive, but otherwise, you know, there's negative McCain stuff on there. There's people who you know have different points of view, and that's part of the whole point, right? And that's one of the things we've been at. So obviously, we do our best to patrol for things that are blatantly bad, you know, it's there's a lot of stuff out there.
How do you view that in the larger scheme of things in terms of allowing some critical content on there about your candidate? Is there a philosophy of this that, you know, it's going to be better for the candidate in the long run to allow that because XYZ?
You know, I don't think that there's a specific. I don't know that there's a specific reason that I'd want to talk about. I mean, globally, I guess it's. Actually, no.
Is it just the ethic of the web at this point?
Yeah, I think that online today, it's hard to patrol everything, and those comments are going to be out there regardless. And so I think that the more that you can understand them and respond to them and keep them as part of, you know, and a lot of the times too, it's very self-policing. So a lot of the times, you know, if you came on and trolled on our website, there's a good chance that somebody might come back at you and say, well, no, actually it's this or, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So it might even be in your interest to have a site that looks more real with mm-hmm. some give and take rather than have everything that the candidate puts out look totally polished and buffed, right?
Right, and I think that's where we are with campaigns today, is that, you know, and this is why, you know, I think Senator McCain does well, because that he's a very genuine candidate. People understand him. The town halls are really where he's at his best, because you get to understand him in that sense of, you know, this is who he is. And I think that the more that we can show that online, the better.
You've been doing internet campaign strategy since 1999, you said.
Correct.
How have you seen this field change?
Oh, it's amazing. Actually, I was just talking to somebody at the conference saying that there's no way you would have had this conference in 1999. It just wouldn't have happened. And, you know, we've started out in 99 begging people to make a website, you know. And people are saying, oh, no, my cousin John can do it. And, you know, he'd say, well, no, you really need to do it professionally. But it's really been a tremendous growth in the field. And I think there's a lot of respect across the aisle. We obviously have a tremendous amount of respect for people who do this on the Democratic side, and I believe vice versa. And I think that's hopefully a sign of things to come in politics. And I think it's good that, you know, we're all interested in you know, obviously we both have different candidates, and we all want to win, and it's, you know, about winning. But I think it's good that everybody's interested in helping further the conversation, make democracy stronger. And, you know, if my candidate wins at the end of the day, that's, you know, so much the better. But I think overall, everybody is kind of in this community is excited about the possibilities, how technology can change politics.
And just from a technological standpoint, what do you have to work with now that you didn't even have, let's say, in 2004?
Oh, I mean, even in 2004, I mean, we used to. You know, I was telling people that, you know, you had to code your own videos and, like, upload them and make sure it worked for all these different connections. You know, now you just throw it on YouTube and you're good to go. I think the video stuff, from a personal standpoint, has been very valuable.
Thanks a lot for your time. Good luck.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Brian Lehrer Show continues on WNYC FM and AM New York. And WNYC.org.
My name is Justine Lamb, and I'm working right now at Politiker.com as their online marketing director. But I was previously the e-campaign director for Ron Paul's presidential campaign.
Now, the Ron Paul campaign was a real phenomenon on the web. Did you drive that?
Some people like to claim that. I see it as it was an amalgamation of different things. It was being a unique candidate with a different message. And the fact that our supporters were very passionate because of his message, and the fact that there was the internet that was driving this, because it enabled them to use free tools online that weren't available even in the 2004 election, like creating videos online on YouTube. Meetups were still very important in 2004, but very important to our campaign. Online fundraising on our website, being able to create a graphic on our site that displayed the actual amount of donations we were raising in quarter four. There was just a lot of different things that had happened in the past 4 years that allowed our supporters to generate even more enthusiasm than others.
The number of views of Ron Paul-related videos was mm-hmm. astronomical. Mm-hmm. And yet it didn't translate to votes at the polls mm-hmm. relative to the other candidates. Why not?
Well, it's something I guess people are going to be asking for the next few years, just like they asked about Dean's campaign. Why is it that he didn't win the election in 2004? And why didn't Paul win? Or why didn't Paul do as good as a lot of his supporters thought he would? And I think it always comes down to basic campaigning. Even though the internet's here still, you need to be able to have the on-the-ground campaign efforts that generate votes. A lot of our supporters thought if we just raised enough money, that would win us the election. No, it's not the case. You need to actually organize and you need to become activated as a supporter to go door to door, to knock on people's doors, to talk about Ron Paul, to convince people to go out and vote, and then on the day of the voting, get them out to actually vote. Because a lot of our supporters, sometimes they wouldn't vote for him because they were busy that day, or they just thought it wasn't important enough, or they're just strong supporters online but didn't want to actually get out there and vote.
Because Ron Paul's support was so grassroots, mm-hmm. were you surprised at just what came in to you besides what you were putting out there? What came in to you from users?
Yeah. It was great, though. We loved watching those videos that people created in our office. We passed them around.
Like what?
And I don't know. I'm just trying to think, like, songs that people created. I'm trying to remember the best ones, but only the worst ones I didn't like come to my mind now.
Like, there was no Ron Paul girl.
There was a Ron Paul girl.
There was?
Yes. She was very cute, actually. But I think the best videos were the ones that were emotionally appealing. They usually had a lot of montages of images. They weren't as exactly videos, except for sometimes including snippets of Ron speaking. A lot of times they were photos of, like, the Iraq War or something, like imagery of us losing our rights and liberties, and then having sort of a soundtrack that was like either like Evanescence or some kind of emotionally, you know, appealing music, and then a call for action at the end of the message. And it's not really professional. It's not like the Barack Obama's, you know, their sort of supporters like William that generated a very professionally slick advertisement for Barack Obama. Our supporters were definitely not professionals. They were doing this on their own time at home with the basic tools of probably like iMovie or Windows Movie Maker to do this.
And Ron Paul, at one point I remember him saying he was raising so much more money online than mm-hmm. he ever imagined. He had more money than he knew what to do with.
Mm-hmm. We didn't like it when he said that actually on the campaign because it wasn't true. We actually knew what we wanted to do with that money. But he just liked to say that because for him it was just so shocking and surprising that he still felt like, wow, I have no idea what to do with this. But we at the campaign actually were like thinking we need to be spending this in certain states and actually developing the infrastructure and ground. But the thing is, we raised it too late, I think. If we had this $20 million back in quarter three or quarter two of 2007, yeah, then we could have started hiring staff at that time and, you know, being able to train people to be grassroots, you know, organizers. But we got it at the end of, around December is when we raised, you know, another $6 million and had about $20 million at that point. But, you know.
So what do you do, or what does anybody do now, with this libertarian base mm-hmm. that's been teased out because of the web tools? Mm-hmm. The campaign is over,
yeah.
So it's not about electing Ron Paul anymore. Is there something else that people interested in that community and those values can do to stay organized with these folks?
I know that Ron Paul himself is starting his own organization called Campaign for Liberty, but there are a lot of other organizations doing sort of same kind of thing, wanting to tap into this enthusiasm for the message. And it's not just libertarians, actually. He actually appealed to people from the left, far left, to the far right, you know, from to in between, you know, from disenfranchised Republicans to Green Party voters to libertarians, of course. So that's the thing. It's not like it's hard to mobilize people all at once when they don't share everything in common, but they liked many parts of his message. But I think mainly for our supporters, a lot of them are continuing to get active in their political communities, and that's why I really think it's important for them to be active locally, like, you know, making sure people are getting elected as sheriff or mayor in their cities, that they and that they support and they understand what issues they're standing for and what they're doing in office. And that's why I think that what we're doing right now with politicker.com is also really important, because we're covering news coverage in the local and state level, where a lot of newspapers nowadays are letting go of their staff in the political news department. And I think that's a travesty, because I think really we need to be more actively involved in our civic society.
Do you think the Obama campaign did something really right in terms of its e-strategy that resulted in all this fundraising and all these views and everything? Or was it just a groundswell, bottom-up, mm-hmm. user-generated interest?
I think it was definitely a mixture of both. I mean, the fact that he's a great speaker and that he can inspire people at his rallies. I think that he came from a different spot from Ron Paul, though. Like, from January of 2007, he had already had name brand recognition. He already had a lot of MySpace friends. He had given a speech on the floor of the 2004, I think, convention. And he had already raised a lot of money at that time. And so he's able to invest in this infrastructure, this web infrastructure, like the My Barack Obama tool. And he had a lot of staff already available and good consultants that were able to tell him what he needed to do. So I think, yes, it's a bit of both, though. I think he had a great communications team, and he also had a great web design team that was able to create these tools for their supporters. But a little bit of it's, you know, the fact that his message kind of appeals to a lot of people in the grassroots.
You mentioned MySpace.
Yeah.
What role do you think social networking is playing in the campaigns this year, as opposed to, say, just creating a candidate website or even videos in support of a candidate?
I see it as, how Seth Godin from, Meatball Sunday, he talks a lot about, moving towards a consumer-focused marketing kind of method. And you need to think of that when you're thinking about anything on internet, businesses to nonprofits to campaigns. And I think with social networking sites, when you have a politician's profile in your hand and you're communicating for him, it's not just a top-down, here's an email blast from us to you. A lot of times the people on those sites are emailing us all the time, asking us questions and being very responsive to them, quicken your response, letting them post things on your site, even if you disagree with them, letting sort of the crowd, the wisdom of the crowds kind of self-correct and respond to any erroneous views on your candidate. You don't really have to go to his defense all the time, because most of the time supporters are able to defend him just as well as you can. And I think mainly it's just making them feel like they're being heard. So when they email you, you email them back and say, thank you for your message. We'll pass it on to Ron Paul. Or here's an answer to your policy question. And then they're really surprised that usually there's a real person on the other end.
So what was it about Ron Paul's message that most inspired you?
Well, prior to working on a campaign, I was working at a nonprofit, and I was directing a public policy program. And he was one of the speakers in our program every summer. And I just liked the fact that he was fairly authentic, and he was known as the most principled politician in Washington, D.C. His nickname was Dr. No, and since I was libertarian and I agreed with his message, I immediately wanted to volunteer. So it's pretty much the message of freedom, of as limited government as you can get, and free markets.
Good luck at Politicker.
Well, thank you.
So tell me your name and what you do.
My name is Tracy Russo. I was the deputy director of the Edwards Campaign Online Communications Program. And I'm currently a consultant for progressive candidates and organizations to help them use the internet well.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. What is using the internet well in 2008?
I think what's important is that using the internet well means that you're using it in a way that works for you. There's no one-size-fits-all solution. All campaigns and organizations have different goals and different, things that they're trying to accomplish. And the key is to integrate a strategy that is going to work for your organization or for your campaign. You can't just say, oh, I want to do that, and it's going to work for you. It doesn't... everyone's different. Everyone has different capacity. Everyone has different capabilities. It's, making a conscious choice to do it and then figuring out how to make it work.
What do you think was the most successful and least successful Edwards campaign online tool this year?
Well, I definitely think that we could have had more success with the technology, the data integration. I think we saw the Obama campaign and the Hillary campaign use really fantastic tools that enabled their supporters to self-organize in a way that it's just revolutionary. I mean, the way that those people have come together and can kind of take the campaign into their own hands, and the tools really supported them being able to do that. On the other hand, I think that our campaign had a really fantastic job of reaching out to diverse groups of people online, working with mom bloggers or, policy wonks and just finding people where they lived online and bringing the campaign to them and trying to engage them and bring them back our way.
You talked about people being able to organize on their own. This is supposed to be the great success of the Obama campaign. compared to the Clinton campaign, mm-hmm. right? That the Clinton campaign was more of a top-down organization, mm-hmm. and the Obama campaign was more bottom-up, and so many people started campaign offices informally in various states, and then the official campaign got involved and things like that. Do you think that was just spontaneous combustion because the candidate was so popular, or was this something that was well done from Campaign Central?
Well, first of all, I don't think that the Hillary campaign necessarily lacked any kind of bottom-up understanding. I think they had that. I think what they didn't have was the sustained environment to funnel the people into. The Obama campaign could capture that energy and funnel it towards a common goal, whereas the Hillary campaign, it was more piecemeal because they didn't kind of have the tools to bring it all together. I think that the folks that are doing it online and the way that you make it work is that you allow it to happen, and then you support them and you empower them to keep going. And the Obama campaign from day one made it possible for supporters to connect with each other, for them to self-organize. And so in that...
Like how, for example?
Well, for example, the Obama campaign has a social network. You can join a group for anything. You can join based on an affinity for a particular cause or tactic, or you can join based on a geographical location. And the ones that are geographically located are incredibly powerful. For instance, my hometown is Boca Raton, Florida, and my local Obama group this weekend had a canvas on the beach. They brocked the beach, and they went, they organized themselves to go out to the beach with voter registration forms, with sign-up forms to volunteer with them for future events for the campaign, and just talked about the campaign. And they, you know, that was not an edict from Chicago. It was all on their own and their own enthusiasm, you know, being put into action.
Are you excited about the notion of personal democracy?
I am. I think it's, you know, I think that technology is really changing the way we live our lives. It's slowly creeping in, and that things that, you know, I can't imagine, you know, meeting someone at the airport without a cell phone these days, which 10 years ago, you know, you just stood by the curb. And so, I mean, there's these small changes that I think are building up to something that's really big. And having an engaged and empowered citizenry that has the ability, there's a low opportunity cost to get involved. It's not just the space that only a few wealthy individuals have the time and opportunity to participate in. I think that's where the big changes are coming.
Do you have any fantasy tools that you wish existed that you could use in the next campaign you're involved with?
You know, it's kind of hard to picture what 4 years from now will be like after this, because I don't think we could have imagined, you know, the level of engagement we're seeing right now. It's just grown by leaps and bounds. I think, you know, the fantasy is that, you know, the percentage of people who are active online right now, you know, who seek out political information online, I think is maybe 30% of internet users, that we see that become a majority of internet users, and that they feel that it's not unusual to interact with their government, be it, you know, a candidate or the White House.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian, for having me.